In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Reprove and rebuke doesn't mean that he's not telling me that I'm supposed to be offensive to everybody, but he is telling me that what you and I are to do is we are to stand up as light in the midst of darkness. We're to be the salt of the earth. And in the culture that we live in, when the culture is advocating something contrary to God's will, okay, there's a way that I can stand up for God's will, and therefore when I stand up for God's will, what do I do? When I stand up for the way of the Lord, what do? I don't participate in the apostasy. I stop the creeping. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Now, let me give you a couple illustrations of what I'm saying. Last Sunday night, Debbie and I were watching television, and we were watching the evening news. I think it was ABC, the nightly news, and there was a program. I mean, there was a little news clip, and here's what the news clip was about. It was about Chick-fil-A. Anybody in here see that clip? Okay? Here's the deal. Chick-fil-A is owned by a Christian businessman. We know that for one reason, because he doesn't open his store on Sunday. You know, if that's not light and darkness, I don't know what is. You know, man doesn't open his store on Sunday because the Lord says not to. He says, you know, 6 days you're supposed to work, and you're not supposed to work on Sunday, so he doesn't open his store on Sunday. Well, you know, why does he do that? Don't you know how much money that's costing him? Well, what is he doing? He's doing what he's supposed to do according to the Word of God. Everybody else opens on Sunday, Pastor. Oh, well, excuse me, since everybody else does it, that's what we're supposed to do it too. There's a creeping apostasy right there. So anyway, the newscaster, here's what happened. It's Chick-fil-A. In Pennsylvania, there is a weekend seminar on marriage. It's a weekend marriage retreat. And we have those from time to time. What happens is they try to strengthen the marriage, and so men and women, husbands and wives, go to these marriage retreats to strengthen their marriage and make them more vibrant. And so here's what Chick-fil-A did. You can't believe what they did. I cannot believe what they did. I cannot believe it. They gave them free food. I'm serious. That's what they did. Because Chick-fil-A wants to do things to help the institution of marriage, they gave this organization that was sponsoring this seminar, this convention, this retreat, free chicken. The newscaster made it sound like they had committed the most terrible sin, because the gay rights groups found out about it and said they were in favor of the institution of marriage as defined by a man and a woman, as opposed to two people of equal sex, and they made a big stink about it. What is my point? The newscaster made it sound like Chick-fil-A had committed this terrible sin, because they'd given free food to support the institution of marriage. You know what that is? That is the spirit of Antichrist operating in our society to get you to believe something that is contrary to God's word. And so what does he do? Satan has a microphone. And if Satan can take his microphone and change what you believe about right and wrong, hey, that is the creeping apostasy. For our young people today, in their schools, being gay is cool. You know what? When I was in high school, it wasn't cool to be gay. Now, my point is, I'm not here today. The subject is not about whether someone should or should not be gay. No, that's not what my point is. What is my point? My point is to demonstrate that what is happening is the spirit of Antichrist is moving in society to try to get you and I to change how we define right and wrong, and to change what we believe about Jesus Christ so that we take an antichrist position and not even know it. Or if we do know it, it doesn't even matter to us. Let me give you another illustration. If you subscribe to the Baltimore Sun, and whether you subscribe to the Baltimore Sun, I'm going to chase this little rabbit just a second. We talked last Sunday that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you should have an obligation to be informed. Okay? As believers in Christ, we should have we should see that it is a Christian duty to be informed about what is going on in our world. Okay? So I mentioned, got the Baltimore Sun. I subscribe to the Baltimore Sun. Why do I subscribe to the Baltimore Sun? I really don't even subscribe to it anymore for news because I get most of my news off the internet, but I'm still subscribing to it. Now, let me tell you, this is really chasing a rabbit. You know what I did this past week? Because I'm serious when I say we need to be informed. You know what I did this past week? I registered for a course at Howard County Community College on elementary Arabic. Now, why in the world did you think I'm taking elementary Arabic? If there's any question in your mind, go listen to last Sunday's sermon. See, I believe that we are in a time where believers in Jesus Christ need to be informed about what is going on in the world, and we need to be informed about what God's Word says. Because unless I know what God's Word says, unless I know what's going on in the world, what will happen is I can be walking right into a storm and not even know that it's coming. A spiritual storm. Why is it, do you think, that I have a heart for our children and our youth in the midst of a storm? Parents, let me ask you a question. When there's 12 inches of snow out on the ground, are you interested in how your child is dressed before they go outside? Or if it's if there's a winter storm advisory, are you going to be interested in what your child's doing, whether they're going outside, whether they're getting ready to get behind a car wheel? Are you going to be interested in your child when a danger is approaching? Because you see, to me, if I'm not interested in that danger and how to prepare my child and make sure my child is ready for that danger, then I either don't love them or it's something wrong with me as a parent. So why do I have a heart for our children? Because we are in a storm. We're in a storm, and my concern is that we don't realize we're in the storm. And what we do is there's a creeping apostasy that is going on in the church, and we don't realize it. And so we need to, number one, realize the Bible prophesies of it. And number two, if we believe the Bible, I do, the Bible prophesies of it. Now, what is it that I'm going to do to adjust my life so that I can prepare myself and my children and my church for the prophecy? Does that make sense? Now, let me show you. I'll give you an example of the creeping apostasy. Front page of the Baltimore Sun, I'll come back to my article, I'm circling all the way back around, okay, says, undeclared lawmakers decide fate of gay marriage. In the state of Maryland right now, a bill has been proposed to recognize a same-sex marriage, to change the definition of marriage, okay? They've got 20 senators who are going to vote in favor of this law change, and you need 24. Now, here is my point. This is Representative Catherine Klausmeier of Baltimore County, and I'm going to read something to you because to me it demonstrates what I'm trying to say. She says, or the article says, as a lifelong Roman Catholic, State Senator Catherine Klausmeier grew up with the clear understanding that marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay? So right out of the gate, the article establishes the fact that this lady knows what God's Word says about the definition of a marriage. That's my point. Okay? It's the only reason why I'm bringing this up. Okay? I'm not here this morning to debate gay marriage, although you know where I stand because you know what the Bible says about it. Okay? The reason why I'm bringing this up is I want you to notice her dilemma. Because that dilemma is the evidence of the approaching apostasy in the church. As a lifelong Roman Catholic, State Senator Catherine Klausmeier grew up with the clear understanding that marriage is between a man and a woman. But the Baltimore County Democrat also empathizes with young gay couples, and so do I. I do too. Okay, I do. I do. I empathize with young gay couples. Does that mean I'm going to change my definition of marriage because I empathize with someone who has a different view? No. The Baltimore County Democrat also empathizes with young gay couples, including two women who recently sat in her office and described the joy of raising children. Am I saying that two gay women can't have joy in raising a child? No, I'm not saying that, but that is irrelevant to what I should stand for as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's irrelevant. This woman knows what the Bible says. The article continues as the Senate prepares to consider. Now, you know, it's getting a little warm in here, isn't it? Getting a little warm, isn't it? See, it's what happens, see? You know, as long as I stay off these hot issues, I'll keep the temperature down. Yeah? Isn't that how it works? Yeah. Yeah, see? You know the dilemma a pastor has? I'll tell you the dilemma. Most of you know where I stand on this issue. Why do you know? Because I believe the Bible. You know where I stand. Let's suppose we got a visitor in here this morning. First time you ever been in here. Oh man, this is a flaming Baptist preacher. You know what? I don't want to be a part of this church. You know what? If this is the way they're going to treat the gay and lesbian movement, I don't want to have anything to... You know what? What can I say about this? You know what? I believe the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, I'd want to be in a church where they teach the Word of God. Now, you may choose not to follow what my interpretation of that. And I give you, that's up to you, okay? But at least what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And it may get hot in here. We can turn the air up if that'll help. You may have a son or daughter. You may have a sister or brother whose experiences... I pray for you. Oh, I've had meetings in my office over the years, numbers of meetings with families from our church that has had this dilemma. Does that mean you separate yourself from your son or daughter? Never! Never! Never, never, never! Never! Let this issue cause you to disown your son or daughter. Never! Never let it redefine right and wrong. That's a lot of things that I did when I was growing up, and my mom and daddy were embarrassed about them. But did they disown me? No. No. How else can I stand for the truth than say it and stand for it? We say, well, everybody else feels a different way. Well, you know, well, that ought to do it then. How does it go again? The way is broad, the way is wide that leads to destruction, the way is narrow that leads to life. You want to lead your child to life? You want to lead them to destruction? Okay, here's the apostasy. As the Senate prepares to consider making same-sex marriage legal in Maryland, Klausmeier wakes up in the morning believing she'll vote one way, but by the end of the day has a different idea.
There you go. No. 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 Not it.
Bless her heart.
I'm just not with her. Okay? No, I'm not with her. No. I know what the Bible, I know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, I'm going to believe what the Bible says. I'm not going to be mean and ugly to those who are gays and lesbian. I'm not, I promise. But I'm not going to redefine sin. I'm not going to redefine marriage. I'm not going to put two atoms in the Garden of Eden. I'm sorry. We say, well, everybody thinks there ought to be two atoms. Well, you know what? They can all think that. You say, you want two E's? Well, you know, do it however you want. But the Bible has Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Opposite likes. Okay. I said I wasn't going to talk about it. I've already talked about it too much. Now, here we go. Verse 3. Here's the prophecy. Verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. You know, to tickle, I don't know about you, but it's not a good thing to tickle my ear. Okay, you know, that does not draw. So what is he saying? You know what he's saying? He's that your ears are tickled because the preacher tells you what you want to hear. It never gets hot. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. I got to speed up. I'm going to have to finish up here in just a minute. Here's what he says in 1 Timothy 4. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, explicitly says, that's interesting to me. He doesn't say the Holy Spirit says, or God says, or Jesus says. It says the Holy Spirit says, the Spirit explicitly says. It's like he's saying, he says it emphatically. It's like he's trying to say it so that we know without any question of a doubt that he means what he says. It's like, you know what? Sometimes I'm in here and I'm talking and I'll just be talking in a low voice and all of a sudden I'll just blow it out, and you know that I mean what I'm saying. It's like the same thing. It says the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, hey, you know what? It's later. In later times, some will fall away from the truth. I'm sorry. Some will fall away from the faith. How are we falling away from the faith? Okay, you know what? Every single one of us, In our lives, you will have the opportunity to remain truthful to what the gospel of Jesus Christ says, or you will remain truthful to what your best friend thinks. It's like he says, in the later times, some will fall away from the faith. You fall away from the faith. Which, if you fall away from the faith, you're falling towards unbelief. Paying attention to deceitful spirits. I think what he's talking about is the spirit of Antichrist. I think this right here, because there's so many people, there's so many senators, okay? So many senators, you know, I hate to say, no, I can't. There's so many senators, Democratic senators, sorry, who are behind this. She's in a quandary. You know what? I've told you before. If you're not sure what the Bible says, you say, here's what you do. You find out what the majority wants to do. You find out what the majority of unbelievers want to do. All right? Find out what the majority of the unbelievers want to do. And you know what? That's the way of the world. Do the opposite. Four undecided, 20 decided. Find out what everybody wants to do. Do the opposite. Okay, let's just move on. Now let me show you. We have to go to 1 John 5. Now let me show you what he says. How do I know whether or not I'm going to follow the spirit of the Antichrist in the apostasy of the church? The apostasy of the church at the last days is, I'll tell you what a part of the apostasy of the last days is, you don't need to be here. Okay? There's somebody's name right here on this pew. There's somebody supposed to be in this pew right now.
You're supposed to be in this pew right now. You know, maybe it's a 16-year-old boy. Supposed to be in this pew, but what happened was last night he stayed up late on the internet or doing this or doing that, so this morning he woke up and he didn't want to come. Well, what happened was his mom had a headache. I have no idea. I don't know if you know, but I got a bad sinus infection. I don't know if you can hear it through my voice. You know, I'm not feeling very good. Okay? But you know what I find? I find that if I'm going to feel bad, I'd rather feel bad in church than feeling bad out of church. Now, there are exceptions to that because last week my wife couldn't come because she was sick. So I'm not, you know, you're contagious and all this kind of stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But how many times do we wake up on the wrong side of the bed and we just don't make it to church? Why does that matter to me so much? I'll tell you why it matters to me. Because you know what? You're not going to hear what I'm saying if you're not in this room. You're not going to hear what the Spirit of God has to say if you're not in this room. You're not going to hear about cohabitation and what God's Word says. You're not going to hear about homosexuality and what God's Word. You're not going to hear about prayer and what God's Word. What happened to us when we removed prayer from the public schools 50 years ago? Where were we? How did that happen? How did it happen? It happened because people stopped coming to church because the church stopped preaching the Word of God. And this ain't nothing to do with being Baptist. It's about being biblical. And what does that matter to you? Look at 1 John 5. Look at what he says. It says 1 John 5, verse 10. No, I'm sorry, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, okay, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. In other words, say, Senator, how do you want to know how to make this decision? It says, if we receive the witness of men, we got 20 people that are voting for it. However, the witness of God is greater. Wait a minute. God's outnumbered, isn't he? 20-1. It ain't got nothing to do with numbers. He says, the witness of God is greater. Witness of God is greater. That's what he's saying. He says, whatever. You know, it's like, no matter what God, when you're walking in the center of God's will, it doesn't matter what your life is experiencing because God's will is always better than something else. Always. He says, verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that he's borne witness concerning his son. I love that. See, this is what the spirit of Antichrist wants to do. The spirit of Antichrist wants to change what you believe about Jesus. Now, you know, you and I have talked so much about Jesus Christ and about who he is. You know, this, you know what the Word of God says. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, whatever humanity says about Jesus, if it doesn't line up with God, it ain't the better message. See, he says, if we receive the witness of men, hey, the witness of God is greater. And the witness of God is this. It's almost like he's saying, the witness of God is this, that he's witnessed. It's pretty good, I think. He says, the witness of God is this. He's witnessed about Christ. In other words, hey, here's the witness of God. It's greater than men. And what is it? Number one, God has declared who Jesus Christ is. God has declared it. Romans 1 says that the resurrection declares Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Romans 1:4 says that, okay? God has made that declaration in the resurrection. So God has given witness of His Son. Then we go to the baptism of Christ. Remember what happens at the baptism of Christ? In John chapter 1, what happens is when Christ is baptized by John the Baptist, a dove descends, and what do you hear? A voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What am I saying? God has given witness about Jesus Christ. What is the apostasy going to do? The apostasy in the later days will change. Stay with me. Okay, let's take a 5-second stand up. Come on. It's 5 seconds. Because I'm going to be done in like 6, 5 minutes, maybe even sooner. Okay? Maybe even sooner. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom, back down. See there? That's good. Okay, we're ready to go. It's like I just started. Okay, what is he saying? It says the apostasy in the last days, the apostasy in the last days is going to change, try to change what people believe about Jesus Christ. However, how do you know what you should do? Well, here's how. God's message, God's witness is greater than that of man. So believe what God says. That's the first reason, because God has given a witness. Here's the second reason. The second reason is because Jesus Christ has given that witness himself. You know what John 8:49 says? Jesus is talking to the, stay with me now. Jesus is talking with the Pharisees, and he says to them, he says, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, what is Jesus saying when he makes that statement? That he's God. Because I am is God, right? So when he says, before Abraham was, I am, that says Jesus is making a declaration, a witness, that he is God. So God's given witness. Christ gave witness as to who Christ is. And you know what the Jews did whenever Jesus made that statement? They picked up stones. They wanted to stone him. There's no question in those Jews' mind what Jesus had just said when he said that he was God. They knew that Christ was making the declaration that Jesus Christ was God, and so they wanted to kill him. Okay, so what do you do? What do you do when it comes to the apostasy? That we got to make sure we know who Jesus is. God's given him witness. Christ has given himself witness. The Spirit has witnessed who Christ is. Says John 15:26. Says John 16:12. The Spirit gives testimony, gives glory, and then the church. You and I give testimony of who Jesus is. That's what the preceding chapter says. Now, what do you think? What do you think the impact is when the church of Jesus Christ loses the centrality of the deity of Jesus? What happens in society when the church, to be the witness of Christ, forgets that Christ is the only begotten Son of God and the only way to God? What happens? Humanity goes through destruction. When the church loses its witness, the apostasy is taking place. The apostasy is relevant to the church. So why should your son or daughter be in Sunday school? Why should you teach your son or daughter to open this book on a daily basis? Why should they see you kneeling? Why should they see you opening this book? Because the church is going to apostatize in the last days. Not everybody, that's not what he's saying, but from within the church, there will be a falling away from the faith. Is that something to be passionate about? You say, well, you know, Pastor, I thought you were going to tell me something that just really rubbed God the wrong way. Verse 10, this is where we finish. The one who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. The one who does not believe God is made him a liar. Made God a liar? Anybody ever called you a liar? And sort of make you really mad? Can I call you a liar? It's one thing to say I'm not telling the truth. You call me a liar, it's like fighting words. This says that when we don't believe what God has spoken about his son, we make God a liar. You think better. That's what it says. It rubs God the wrong way. Why does it matter whether you're in here? Why does it matter whether you know who Jesus Christ is? Why does it matter? The witness that you give, why does it matter? We are in a difficult day, a difficult time.
It's a time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. To rise up and proclaim who He is. To stand for what He stands for. To love what He loves. To hate what He hates. We say, but everybody else doesn't feel that way. Well, what's that got to do with it? That is the point. That is the evidence that what I am saying to you today is true. First John says, it is by our faith that we overcome. By our faith in our only begotten. Let's pray. Yea, Father. I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor. You tell us, O God, that it is truth that sets us free. Your word tells us you came to release the captives. We cannot be set free until we are wed to the truth of the only begotten Son, the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us that we might behold your glory, O precious God. Pray for our children. I pray for you. Make them radical for Jesus. In your name.